Guess what, guys? I'm not a doctor. So if you're going to be making any major medical decisions, please consult your doctor. That includes diets, exercise, medications, and surgery. I love you guys, and be careful and consult your doctor.
Welcome back, our Sleeve Life podcast, and I am your host, Mel, of course. And today, I'm actually interviewing someone different. He has his own brand. He does a lot of things for the community, for his side of the community. He's not actually in bariatrics, but he definitely helps people get to where they're going, and he has his own, like, I have it right here. It's called Momentum Shake, and I actually tried it. If you guys go back and look at my reels, I tried it online, and it was great. It's chocolate, and which is one of my favorites, which makes things a lot easier because it just tastes like chocolate milk, and that makes things 10 times easier for all my protein goals. So here we go. We're going to start this bad boy up. So welcome on to the show, Michael. Thank you for coming on.
Mel, it's an absolute pleasure to be here, and I can't wait to learn about your story and see if we can't help some folks and your listeners.
Yes, 100%. So really, I know my listeners want to know a lot about you. So Michael, where did all this start for you? Since you have a brand that's built for protein and athletics and, you know, wellness.
It's been a lifelong journey. And if I go back to when I was a kid, my mom having to shop in what we called the Husky section back then. Yes. And just all of my family being diabetics, my mom being a diabetic, her being 100 pounds overweight, and me being definitely the chunky kid in school, and having a real issue with brownies. uncontrollable urge to just, we just didn't know. I can't believe any of the elder millennials out there probably know how poorly we all ate. And yep. It just seemed like our parents didn't know anything about health at all. And I'm just so like dumbfounded that we are in this position where we are, where we're all trying to get healthier. And anyway, so this is a lifelong journey of struggling with being a little bit overweight. And, you know, all the social stuff that goes along with that as you're growing up as a teenager and just sort of thinking for a very long time that, like, that's who I am. That's who my family is. My mom, like, you know, struggled with her whole life. And it was always that something had happened to her. Like, it was just the way it was. And there was nothing you could do about it. And that single mindset, it permeates everything that you believe. And it wasn't until I got, you know, out of college where I started to question.
If you are looking to level up your weight loss journey like I am, let's talk about ProCare's new metabolic G3A. It's a GLP-1 companion plus your blood sugar support. This game-changing supplement is designed to support your metabolic health and your blood sugar levels, making it a perfect companion for those on a GLP-1 medication, which your girl is. Check out the metabolic G3A at procarenow.com and use code OSLP for 15% off your order. I have a great protein company for you that is both delicious and effective. That is Devotion Nutrition. With their amazing proteins, you will find mouthwatering flavors and high-quality ingredients that support your goals. You can bake with this, you can make your post-workout shake, and prepare a protein-packed snack. Devotion really does have you covered, so go over to devotion.com and use code OSLP5 at checkout to get 5% off your order. Fuel your body with the best Devotion Nutrition ingredients today. Craving a sweet treat that fits your goals? Try Built Bar. With their protein-packed bar in a variety of delicious flavors, you can satisfy your cravings while staying on track. I'm all about Team Puff. Those fluffy, melt-in-your-mouth puffs are a game-changer. Head over to Built.com and use code OSLP at checkout and get 10% off your whole order. Treat yourself to something tasty and guilt-free with Built Bar.
Who do I want to be? What can I be? What are my limitations? And then you start testing that boundary, and you're like, wait a minute. Maybe this isn't true. And you start pushing, you know, like economically, maybe I could start a business. Maybe I don't need to do that. Or maybe I could get in shape. One of the stories I told myself about just health all growing up was that I was like the smart kid in school, right? Always had, you know, like top of the class. School was very easy for me. And the people that picked on me, the jocks, the athletic folks, right? Like I don't want to be like them. So I don't want to do things like them. So therefore, those two things just don't go hand in hand. Being intelligent and being fit they can't be in the same identity, right?
Yeah, why lift weights? That's how I grew up.
Yeah, right? Like, those are jocks. Those are idiots, mm-hmm. right? So I always just self-soothed and told myself a story that I should pick up a book instead of pick up weights, and that would be better for me long term. And it wasn't really – I mean, I think I kept that story with me until I had done everything in the entrepreneur world, sold a bunch of companies – and still wasn't as satisfied with life and myself and needing a new challenge. Until that point, then I was like, wait a minute. Why can't I be both? Why can't I be smart and fit? Mm-hmm. And then when you start, everything begins with an identity. And then you get to decide who that identity is. And it wasn't until I decided that I was a fit person, I wasn't going to become a fit person, that I was a fit person, that I started doing things that were fit. I had sold some companies, and I had started during COVID baking a bunch, back to this old hobby of sweets. And then I started this cookie company. I had a food truck and we were selling cookies. Oh, and because it was cool. Just like my way of like doing something joyful and spreading joy. And it really started, you know, I started putting on weight again, and we were selling cookies to people who had weight issues. And I like felt this real tension. I was like, if I make this company successful, because they were amazing cookies.
I believe it.
Really hard on them. I'm not helping myself, and I'm not helping other people.
Right.
So what could I do that I could create a company that would help the world, and in the process of doing it, make me healthier? And that was one of the pushes forward on this company Momentum. Then I spent the next 3 or 4 years just obsessed with the concept of how good a life can I live? How healthy can I become? And, you know, it's very much still a journey, but it's been an incredible alignment for me, where I get healthier and I make something that's better for other people. And then this is flywheel where life gets better for me and the people around me.
Oh my goodness. Yes. I love that story because I hear that through the community all the time of like, okay, I'm going through this journey now. I'm finding my identity. I don't want to be like my family. And me and you sounds like we have a similar story of where our families just didn't seem to know anything about food choices, health concerns. I know from my side, it's mainly because like it was survival. Like they needed money to make sure they just had the house, the car, the food in the fridge, you know, like our birthdays weren't extravagant. We didn't go on vacations. Like I've been reading this one book and they talk about their family going on vacation every year. And I was like, yeah, I have no idea what that feels like. Like we would go to the lake, you know, like we would make things work, but also we're eating fried chicken. We're having rice. We're doing pasta. Like it's not the healthy foods. Like, did you hear me say a vegetable at all? No.
No. Like, right. Yeah.
So it's just like the times have definitely changed because I am an elder millennial and that's just how it is. Like, I think as generations go, we learn more and more and more. And now I feel like we're in a day and age where like people are actually concerned about their health and want to live longer. Mm-hmm. And now the jocks can be smart guys.
Right.
Like you don't have to be a dummy just to be in sports. Like you can be knowledgeable. And I think it's more respectable now, too, where we're like, no, we want everybody to have knowledge because knowledge is power. We've learned that. And with this community, they, like, I know for me and the people that I talk to, like, they are trying to be a better person, even if it's just 1% a day, just a little bit better, a little bit better. And it goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the name Momentum is kind of perfect because it sounds like you like stopped doing the cookies and mm-hmm. then got all this momentum to do the Momentum shakes, which is great. And I feel you on like giving, it kind of reminded me of like before on Spotify, I'm going to squirrel a little bit. They were playing McDonald's ads.
Oh, God.
And they were playing Taco Bell ads. And I was like, I got a message from a couple of viewers being like, hey, this is pretty triggering for me. Like, that's where I used to go every day. Mm-hmm. And I really can't be hearing this. And I was like, oh, shit. So, like, I had to message my podcast agency and say, hey, we got to nip any fast food restaurants off the list for advertising. And they're like, oh, okay. Is that a problem? Like, yes. Like, we are food addicts. We love food. And a lot of people, like, fast food was easy. You would just go and pick it up. And yeah. some of us would eat it in the car and then go inside and then have dinner with the family. I'm not going to lie. I never had a full meal before, but I would stop and have mozzarella sticks and then I'd go home. I didn't want anybody to know I had mozzarella sticks. I also didn't want to share my mozzarella sticks. So I was like, no, these four bad boys are mine and all mine. So it's nice to see someone that's actually trying to help and not hurt us with food. So just FYI, thank you.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Incentives, I think, you know, they drive the world. And I'm just at a place in my life where I'm trying to create my masterpiece. I don't need to make any more money. I don't need to make any more companies. I just want to do something that was, it seemed out of my ability at the time. I wanted to really reach for something, and I wanted to do something that I had zero compromises, just to see, like, yeah, how great of a company can I make? Like, where's my limit? I'm on the Maslow's hierarchy of needs. I'm trying to pursue self-actualization right now.
Okay.
And so that's just the filter that every decision in my head goes through is like, will this help this become extraordinary? Will this help my personal life become to the absolute limit? And so that's how I look at things when I'm building and making decisions. And that's the identity that I've like put on for this period in my life. And so that's it's just really exciting for me to be helping that step. The name Momentum came from a philosophy that I've been slowly developing.
Oh, okay.
And the idea is that I want to move with the force of the world. I want to be like a river going downstream. I'm less interested in pushing boulders uphill. I want to feel that life force guiding me because everything is easier with momentum, right?
Yeah.
This idea that you're moving with a wave. And if you have that, every decision, everything, it feels like it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We don't need more information. Everybody knows we should be eating less. We should be eating right. We should be exercising. These are not the reasons that we're failing. Mm-mm. We're failing because we're not finding the path that feels like it's going downhill.
Yeah.
We haven't found this spark, this jolt to propel us forward. And so my hope with Momentum is that I've taken something extremely complicated, which is nutrition and eating and all these habits and emotions that go into that daily decision. And you don't have to spend years curating. You don't have to go find all the correct ingredients at the right dose in the right form and then go buy them all and then remember and force yourself to take them. It's a chocolate shake. It's something you're going to enjoy doing. It's the default is easier than having an unhealthy breakfast, right? You just add water and shake and you've had the healthiest thing you're going to have all day. And it's super low in calories. So you're preventing yourself from, you know, gorging at the worst time, which is breakfast. Yep. It's going to have a very low insulin response because, you know, my mother's a diabetic. So I'm like designing this with her in mind. And then because you're getting all these vitamins and nutrients that you're most likely deficient in, that's where a lot of hunger comes from. And so I want to make sure that you're satiated, that your body has what it needs so it's not cueing that hunger spike. And all of a sudden you've made it till dinner and the only thing you had was a shake for 220 calories. That is momentum. You've eliminated all the things that are tripping you up every single day. All the decisions, all of the temptations just kind of vanished and you've made things easy. We've made nutrition so complicated. There's good and evil and bad foods and like big pharma and all these things are trying to get you. And that's decision fatigue. And by the end of the day, you lose and you go get those mozzarella sticks.
Right.
If I can remove all those decisions, remove this idea that there is good and bad food, and just let's reduce the quantity of food that we're eating, and just make this so simple and not something that you have to force yourself to do. I got to prevent myself from having two of these a day. Right. That's
that's a good problem to have.
Right. You know, I was like, oh, I really like it. I look forward to it every morning. And so that's what momentum is in like a life concept.
Well, I love that, because what I'm hearing you say basically is that you're trying to make it as easy as possible for people. And I really like that concept, because we do overthink. We're making things way harder than it needs to be. I tell everybody, go back to the basics, which is just hitting your protein goals, making sure when you wake up, you eat within the first like hour or so, because your body needs it. I'm telling people, you got to drink your water when you first wake up. I don't know why it bothers me knowing that people just wake up and have coffee immediately.
Sure.
I'm just like, no, don't do it. Like, I don't know. I just is like, no, you need water. Like, I legit, when I wake up, like, I drink water. I put eye drops in. I go and make sure my animals all have water. Like, I do, it's like a water routine every morning. And so I'm like, guys, just stop putting stuff in your body that it doesn't need right away. Like, make sure you're like, just start your day healthier. That's, I notice if you start your day healthier, then you start making better decisions throughout the day.
Right.
But if you start with pancakes, which I love me some pancakes, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
They're fucking delicious. But if I start there, I start being like, oh, I can have fries later. Oh, I'm going to have ice cream later. Like, it just is a snowball effect. So if we can take out all the overthinking and the hardness of it, then why not? And you've done that. Like, a lot of protein companies are trying to do that for people. Now, do they taste good? Most of them don't. I've tried a lot. And that's one of the reasons why I tell people to send me their stuff, because 4 years ago, that's all we did was reviews. And yeah, like, we're going to tell you what works, what doesn't work. Like, the stuff can be expensive, and we don't want people wasting their dollars on things that just taste like water and has like no flavor. And it sounds like you kind of went through a full process of trying to figure out what you wanted. So how did you do that? Like, how did you come up with the flavors? Did you test all the flavors? Like, how did that go for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Whenever I'm making anything, I have a keystone thing in my mind that I'm always putting a decision filter through. And I spent 2 or 3 years just researching absolutely everything. And then what emerged from that is that almost all of our health concerns are related to aging. Our body just breaks down faster than it can repair itself. And there's a whole host of reasons that happens. But everything that, you know, everything that we call a disease is really a symptom of our body just not functioning as good as it used to. And weight is definitely going to be an enormous gas pedal in that acceleration for all of those symptoms of aging. There's just no way to sugarcoat it. it would be sugarcoated.
Yeah, we would love it to be sugar-coated. What are you talking about?
Right. So my main theory is like, okay, if we can look at what aging is and then try to slow that down, we can affect all health outcomes. And so when I'm looking at what aging is, my theory was, well, what are we losing as we get older? What is breaking down? Just like you have a house here and things break down and you have to maintain them. So the roof leaks. So let's get materials to fix the roof. You know, and let's focus on where the damage is happening and if we can replace it. So everything that I looked at started in the body. And then those main things that you would call out would be your mitochondria lose the power. Mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell where all your energy comes from. So those get worse and worse and worse. Your blood flow, your circulation, your heart, you know, everyone knows that heart disease is the number one killer out there. So if we go back a few steps, what's causing that? And that's your ability of blood to move around your body. And so what's happening? You're having calcification of your veins. They're literally turning into rocks from calcium in your blood vessels not being able to find their home into the bones. And wow. So why does that happen? Well, you have magnesium, vitamin D, vitamin K, mineral deficiencies that mm-hmm. carry calcium and then deliver them to bones. So we're looking at where are we losing things as we get older and where are things deficient that your body needs for all these mechanisms to happen. And that's how I built the shake. There is no one unicorn pixie dust ingredient. And that's how a lot of supplements are. They try to find one magic elixir, and then they mark it up 90%, and now you have this stack of 30 or 40 pills, and it's $500 a month, and you got to try to force all this stuff down. It's not easy. So mm-hmm. for me, when you're trying to make a solution to something, you want a holistic approach that makes things simple and easy, and you don't have to understand how any of this works. You just have to do the thing. Mm-hmm. Because there's 3,000 hours of education that we could go through on, this whole thing and how it all works together. But they all work together. Your body needs all of these ingredients all at once for this mechanism to happen. Like if you're baking cookies, there isn't one ingredient. They all have to come together. And if one thing's off, it's not going to turn out right.
Yep.
So that's momentum, is we put everything together at the right dose with the right partner things that it needs to finish the enzymatic reaction and deliver the raw materials that you're losing as you get older or are deficient in. So your body, the miracle that it is, can do what it's programmed to do, which is repair itself. It can't repair itself when it doesn't have the roofing material. And then water leaks in and things get worse and worse and worse. So that's the thesis of how momentum was formulated. I looked at 200 or 300 nutrients and supplements, looked at all the studies from, over the last 50 years, determined the top 20 things that we're deficient in or declining in. And then I went around the world and I found the best version and manufacturer of each of those things. It's usually the most expensive, as you might imagine. Yep. So my thesis was not how much money can I sell this for or the profit, it was how much can I spend on this and put it all together, and that there'll be a small market of people that can afford, the Ferrari of supplements, but I just want to make this the absolute most incredible thing that I possibly can. And so that's what I think we've done. We've created the Rolex, the Ferrari of supplements. Everything in there is going to be 10x more expensive than the commodity version of it, and then we put it all together. And that's why it tastes good, mm-hmm. right? Is because it's the most expensive version of everything. You don't have to put in a bunch of crazy artificial flavors and tons of sugars and weird fats because it already tastes good. If you look at the packaging of any food and you see that laundry list of non-active ingredients that are there for binders and preservatives and artificial flavors, natural flavors, fake sugars, and things you don't even know are sugars or fats. They're just weird words. Those are to cover up rancid, off flavors that are part of the ingredients that they're using because they're using the cheapest possible thing. We don't have to do that because it's incredible. Like our whey protein, which is one of the 20 ingredients because protein makes up everything in our bodies. It comes from Ireland.
Okay, that was weird. Are you there?
Yeah. Did you catch?
Okay.
Where did we cut off?
I'm taking my wellness to the next level with First Form because they have premium supplements to support all your health and fitness goals. Whether you're building lean muscle, boosting recovery, or improving overall health, they got you covered. Try their Level 1 Sustained Release Protein or their Formula 1 for Quick Recovery. Check out their full lineup at firstform.com/melunfiltered and take your wellness journey further today. Since I started my weight loss journey, I have been more positive and more intent with what I'm doing with my life. And that includes what I'm wearing. I found this new company called Find the Good Brand. Their collection of motivational apparel and accessory is designed to help you stay focused on the positive while making a bold statement. From inspiring shirts to empowering hats, you got it covered. Visit findthegoodbrand.com and use code MELUNFILTER at checkout to get 10% off your order. Start spreading those good vibes today with Find the Good Brand. I have a delicious and nutritious way to boost your protein intake. Try American Dream Nut Butter, packed with high-quality protein and healthy fats. It's the perfect snack to fuel your weight loss journey. Whether you're adding it to your favorite meal or enjoying it straight out of the jar, like your girl does, American Dream Nut Butter is a tasty way to stay on track. Visit AmericanDreamNutButter.com and use code OSLP and get 10% off your order. Treat yourself to a healthier snack today.
Right when you're talking about the binders and the laundry list of items.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll cut to where an example.
Yeah, give us an example, because like we've been trying to learn labels and going through the labels and telling people, you know, like using, if they have a little list, it's probably the best. The longer the list, more scary.
Right.
And but no one's really talking about those filler things that you're talking about. So if we can.
So yeah. It's a red flag when you see a bunch of stuff that you don't know what it is. We have a really long list because it's got a bunch of active ingredients in it. You know, like you'll have the vitamins and minerals and colostrum and hyaluronic acid and NAD. Those are all things that are active. When you see that other ingredients list, those are the things that are covering up low quality active ingredients that taste weird. There's lots of different kinds of proteins, and they're made as fast and inexpensively as possible, and that tastes bad. Your body knows what is good and what is bad, usually by the way it tastes. Mm-hmm. And where we've been tricked is that these mass production facilities, if they gave you the thing as it was, it would taste terrible. So they got to cover it up with artificial flavors and artificial colors and artificial sugars and preservatives because it's already rancid. Those are all there to trick you into thinking this is a high quality thing. So yeah. The reason our stuff tastes good is because it's already the super high quality thing. We don't have to cover it up. So as an example of where we're using the thing that's more expensive and more rare but tastes incredible, is I was in Ireland, and you've probably had Kerrygold butter before, right?
Yes.
The golden package. And that's like, this is what butter can taste like? Oh, my God.
It's so good, guys. So much better. It's so good, yeah.
So we've been rolling around Ireland, and it's just this lush green place. And it's been the home of the best butter in the world since people made butter.
Yep.
And we were at the butter museum, and I'm learning about this. They have a butter museum. And I'm learning about amazing. And I'm learning about all of this and the history behind it. And the reason that is because Ireland is in this like super special place in the world climate wise where it can grow grass almost year round.
Nice.
And so you can just put cows out in this incredible, diverse grass pasture that grows all the time, and they're eating what they're supposed to be eating, and then they can make milk that is, no one can touch it. It's just incredible. I live in Wisconsin, which is the dairy capital of America, and if you look out right now, it looks like Ireland. It is this beautiful, lush, green place. I live out on 22 acres in the woods, and I got this prairie out in front of me, and it's gorgeous. But if you're here in February... it wouldn't look like that. It'd be under snow. So 6 months of the year, when you see grass-fed, it's not really grass-fed. They got to give them corn during the winter. It's just, you know, they would starve to death, right? So it's not necessarily a fault of the farmers, but of the marketers marketing grass-fed that can't physically be. But in Ireland, it can. And you can taste it, and you can see it, and you can smell it. And it makes the whey protein, like, wow, untouchable good. It just tastes sweet and without any weird flavors. And so I don't have to cover that up with a bunch of nonsense.
Plus, which is amazing.
That's... right. So just like one example of the attention that we put into everything. And so for the chocolate, I was like, well, who's the best chocolatier I can find in the world? And I reached out to this company called Guitar. This French family that moved to America in the 1800s. They're five generations deep. I talked to the great-great-great-grandson who's the owner now. And untouchable, outstanding cocoa. It's just the premium stuff. It's obviously 10 times more expensive than regular chocolate and 100 times more expensive than what you would normally see, which would be a natural flavor. I'm doing quotes here for the listeners. Whenever you see natural, that means it is not the thing. right? Oh. It means it's something mimicking the thing. It may come from planet Earth, so they can qualify it as natural, right? But it's not. So when you see vanilla, like a vanilla thing, and has natural vanilla flavors, it's not vanilla. It's like a wood pulp alternative that's been extracted, and they've used a chemical synthesis to mimic the molecular structure of vanilla, right?
So I had no idea.
Right. Natural flavors are not real. They are just, they're not cooked up in a lab exactly the same way that an artificial flavor would be. But it's still going to have weird effects on your body because your body doesn't, what the hell is this thing? Mm-hmm. You know, when your body doesn't recognize something, it can't break it down. And if it can't break it down, then it can start attacking your gut. It can cause leaky gut. It can get into your bloodstream, and then you have inflammation. And your immune system starts attacking this thing that it sees as foreign. It can't break down, or it takes a lot of energy to break down. And if you do enough of that, you have this inflammation response that is so large and maybe even chronic that your immune system starts overreacting. When you have this overreaction of the immune system, it starts attacking anything that looks like this. And there's this thing called biomimicry where your body can't tell the difference between a gluten protein, which looks really similar to a virus protein. And so that's why it has this like really intense response. And then there are viruses that look eerily similar under a microscope to certain proteins in your body. So it can start attacking yourself. And now you have an autoimmune response. And that's, this cascade effect that is just this horrific flywheel of negativity
in your body.
The thing that really pushed me over the edge, Momentum wasn't going to be a business in the beginning. I was just on this self pursuit of curiosity, and that we were 2 or 3 years deep, and COVID had just happened, and my girlfriend runs a dance studio. Nice. And if you can imagine trying to keep a dance studio open during COVID, it was just insanely stressful.
Yeah. And
and as I'm sure your listeners are very aware, stress and emotions are so tied to what we eat, and it just affects everything in our body. I think it's right up there with smoking or being, or diabetes. It's just as dangerous. And so she had this incredibly stressful thing that just built up and built up and built up. And then one morning she woke up and she couldn't see anything out of her left eye, just completely blind.
Whoa.
Right. It's a total freak out. We have no idea what we're doing. We're running around to every doctor and nobody can kind of figure it out. And then finally a doctor's like, oh, you're having an autoimmune attack and it's attacking your optic nerve. And that turns out that, 9 months later, it gets diagnosed as multiple sclerosis. But in that meantime, we're trying to like just go online and figure all this stuff out. And it's overwhelming, the lack of true understanding that there is in the world. From doctors to gurus, nobody, they all know this much. Yeah. And they have very strong opinions and magic elixirs. And so that was the thing that really, really put this in high gear, was that I have to make something that is honest and cuts through all this noise and makes this simple. Because we were trying everything.
I'm sure,
Let's stop this attack, because the doctor is like, oh, you maybe in 2 years, could be totally blind, could be in a wheelchair if you don't stop this. So we're trying all, she's trying all these things. She's taking, 20 different pills, multiple kinds of 20 different varieties of multiple pills. And she just gets to this point where she can't swallow anything anymore. And it's just every morning it's this battle, and we're putting it in oatmeal, we're putting it in ice cream just so she can get all these pills down. And that was kind of the light bulb for me. I was like, I know a lot about this, and this is overwhelming for me. This is physically very hard. Can I curate something that makes this simple for people? And then can I make it a drink where this isn't a god-awful experience every day? And so that's what turned this into a drink, and then that's what turned it into a product that I wanted to share with the world. This has been the origin motivation for everything. And so at every single decision level, I'm trying to make the best possible outcome decision for people. And so that's why I'm willing to spend 100x more on real cocoa or import Madagascar vanilla beans myself from people that I've met in Madagascar and then extract our own vanilla and put it into the shake. Like, these are insane things that no other company is willing to do because it's, you know, the amount of effort and cost to that is, you know, most companies can't make it work, you know, just the bottom line sort of thing.
Well, and I have a question. Is she okay?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say my listeners are probably like, what happened to her? So like, did everything get figured out? Was like, what happened?
Exactly? I mean, it took like 2 years. We got her vision came back. I would say she would say it's 95% back. Nice. You know, she got on an incredible, new, medication called Kesimpta, which basically wipes out your B cells, which is part of your immune system. Part of your immune system that attacks your myelin sheath in your brain. Every autoimmune system is slightly different, but it's the same concept that your immune system has gotten confused, maybe because there was, you know, a virus that you've had since you're a kid. And so in the case of multiple sclerosis, it's mono. Most of us have been exposed to mono and you can't really ever get rid of it. But when you put your body through a lot of stress or it's already unhealthy, that can flare back up.
And
then your body starts attacking that and it looks almost identical to what your myelin sheath looks like. And so your body just starts attacking both of them. And that same thing can happen from, you know, pollution, or the food that we eat, or, you know, just, when you start making your body have a hard time running itself, that's when it loses the battle on inflammation. And then you give yourself the opportunity to start developing these autoimmune disorders. Anyways, so 2 years in, you know, she had some scars on her brain and those have started to recede and a lot of them are almost gone. So I would say things are looking really fantastic. You know, it's something that we have to pay attention to, but yeah.
That's a big wake-up call, though. Like, I'm sure that changed your guys' whole life. And obviously, it really created you to, like, put something out that can really help people. Because you can see what happens with the deficiencies.
Right. It gave me a lot of focus. You know, who am I? I'm not a doctor, right? I'm just someone who's insanely motivated, and I have a different set of skills, which is I can build things. Mm-hmm. And doctors can't build things historically, right? Like, I have lots of friends who are doctors, and they understand research and they understand people, but to go and make your own manufacturing facility and to go make direct partnerships with the best ingredient suppliers in the world, those are skills that I possess.
Yes.
Because I've done this dozens of times. So can I take that skill set and make something that with my understanding of human psychology and how people work and the things that trip them up, can I make something that will help be the first easy win that could lead to a long line of better health outcomes? Because if I can start helping you control this one thing, giving you a little more agency, a little more ownership over your health, maybe you start to lose weight. And then that has a bunch of positive impacts. Maybe you just start to have more energy. You sleep better. Maybe you have a little less stress. Your blood work starts getting better. And now you feel a little bit more motivated to go work out. And you're like, oh, now you start getting more results from that. You're less sore after a workout because you have the right materials to make that repair. Something that I struggled with exercising forever is I would work out and then like 6 weeks in, I'd be starting to see some results and then I would injure myself. And then I would stop for 3 months. I'd lose my momentum, right?
Yep.
I've been able to work out without injury for the last 2.5 years now.
Nice.
Because I have the materials. You know, when you're working out, you're creating small injuries in your muscle and they have to repair and then they grow back bigger, right? But if you don't give yourself the stuff, you just hurt yourself. You just injure yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you're not the only one that's been through that. I hear that all the time. Where, like, they're feeling good and they get excited and then they just go really hard at the gym. Or just they do, like, a heavy hike, like, too much, too long. Just something will trigger that because of that, like, momentum and that excitement, and then they get hurt. And I've heard it time and time again. It's happened to myself. Like, no one is very, let's say, you can't be shy around that. It's going to probably happen to a lot of us just because we do get excited and we think we can do more and do more. But what I've learned over my weight loss journey of 10 years, it's really not about, like, pushing harder and harder. It's just about being consistent.
Right.
Just doing the damn thing, you know, going. And I'm in that circle right now because I'm trying to get myself in a full routine for this body competition next year. And I am not all the way there, you know, like I'm just doing a few days a week. That's how I'm going to start because I have almost a year to prepare. So it's like, let's just get tiptoe in. Because I know me, if I try to go 5 days, I'll do that for a month and then I'll be completely burnt out or I'll hurt myself.
Right.
So it's like you really got to pay attention to your body and have the materials, like you're saying, in your body to help repair. Because I also hear all the time that like their recovery's harder. They're not sleeping. So that's not doing well for their body. And then I know a bunch of people that do have autoimmune diseases. So it's like... It's just hard. And if you can just, like you said, take one thing away that makes it a lot easier, why not?
Well, you start stacking these small wins and you have a snowball effect where you start getting more and more momentum. It feels easier and easier and easier. But that beginning is the hardest part of anything, right?
Yep.
And when you do, like, you know, New Year's comes around and you get all this motivation or some terrible thing happens in your life, you get all this motivation and you do everything all at once and you set these huge goals and then you get 6 weeks in and you life happens, right? Because you try to do it all at once, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that's been revolutionary for me is I've stopped having goals that are about these sorts of things, right?
Okay.
That's an achievement mindset. It's like, in the future, I will do this. And instead, I've moved everything to the present. And I'm like, right now, I'm going to be someone in it that will, by default, achieve these goals. So, like, what I'm trying to make a really large company. What does someone who would do that look like? Well, how would I structure my day? You know, okay. So I build around that. So, for a health outcome, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. It's instead like, well, what would a healthy person do right now for this decision in front of me? Well, he probably wouldn't overeat. Yep. Would probably go for a walk after dinner. Would probably pick, you know, the lower calorie, non-fried thing, right? Yep. Maybe wouldn't have dessert right before bed. That's what the healthy person would do. And you have these decisions in the present. And I call it being instead of achieving. And I try to have that filter through life. Like, how can I be right now instead of worried about, you know, a year, 5 years from now, like achieving some meaningless goal? Is like, right now, I want to feel that my life is better by this decision. You know, I have the momentum with me right now. And I'm being the person I want to be. And I trust that by being that person, everything that, you know, I'm setting out as a vanity goal will happen. It may not happen in 6 weeks, but maybe 6 months, 6 years. I want these long-term lifestyle changes. And those happen by making an identity shift, not by like, okay, I'm going to diet really, really hard and then I'm going to get to the thing and then balloon back up, right?
That's
terrible. So like if you make the identity shift and you become the person right now, you will get there. It's a long-term identity shift. That makes everything super simple. You don't have to fight with yourself.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, is you literally can just be and think about like, hey, okay. And I like that you're talking to yourself too. Like, I know if I'm at a restaurant and I'm looking at the menu, like, it would be perfect for me to be like, okay, what would New Mel actually like order? You know, and I would want to put my, like, I kind of want to say my name in my head. Like, what does Mel want to eat? What does Mel want for healthy? Like, what do we want? Mm-hmm. And it's so much easier to be in that kind of a mindset when you put yourself in it.
Right.
Like, if you're just mindlessly, like I used to do when I was up to 300 pounds, I would just eat. I wasn't thinking, how am I going to feel later? How am I going to feel the next day? Is this okay for my body? Like, you know, that was not the concept. It was more or less like, get food in your body, go do the next thing that you have to do. And whether that was watching TV or going on a walk sometimes, you know, or going to sleep. I know that's a naughty one to do. Don't eat and go to sleep, guys. That's just not good for your body.
Right.
Just period. It's not really about weight loss or anything. It's the fact of, like, your body needs to digest things and you need to give it time to digest. And if you're going to sleep, it's actually, you're not going to have the best sleep because your body's still trying to do stuff while you're sleeping. And that's also what I've learned. So just be careful. And yeah, talk to yourself about changing your identity just a little bit every day. You don't have to be a full changeover. I think a lot of us are all or nothing, and that's kind of how we got into the place that we're at, because we're not just slowly changing things. And I can actually be that person for you guys where I have slowly changed things, and, you know, 10 years out, I'm still maintaining. Yes, I had one regain, and that was understandable. That was a very emotional year. That was a year where I watched my ex-husband die and come back. And then 6 months later, we had a divorce. Like, there was a lot going on in 2023. Yeah, 2023. It was a wild year. But you know what? I realized I regained, and then I took ownership of it. I was like, I said it actually on a podcast, because I noticed if you don't talk about it, then it's not real, right, in your brain. But when you do, you're like, I was able to finally feel free from it. Like, I was so scared that I was regaining, and I was so worried people were going to say something, because I'm online all day and I want to be that role model for you guys. But also, I'm human, and my coping mechanism was food. And I did not go to the other coping mechanisms that I used to have. I went for the easiest thing, considering I was in a hospital with him for 6 weeks. It was a very bad surgery that he went through. So there was not the, I could not show up for myself the way that I can now because of some trauma that was going on. And I want you guys to know that life is going to happen like that, but I needed to actually shift my mindset of, okay, Mel, don't just go to the vending machine and grab stuff. Like, prepare before you leave home food to bring in, so that way you're not just mindlessly eating. And I need to be awake for these doctors. Like, they're talking high level stuff that they're, you know, we're talking about wound vacs and we're talking about surgeries and opening, closing. Is he going to have a leg? Like, I need to have full prepare, like, for these conversations. And I bet I probably could have been firing on better cylinders if I had protein or something every morning to start my day with. It's a rough situation, but guys, like, we can do this for ourselves, but we have to care about ourselves. I am a big people pleaser. And so I always go to the back, you know, I'm going to help everybody before myself. And now I have to take care of myself. I've learned that in these last 10 years. The only way you're going to succeed is if you take care of yourself. And it's not selfish to do so. Unless you're like, this is the only time I'll say that you're selfish, is if legit, like, you're getting all the cool stuff and then your kids don't. Like, that's where you're being selfish. Like, hold on. We all should be, you know, evenly keel here. But.
Well, I think you brought up a ton of really great things there that, if you have a system or a plan that falls apart the minute life happens, you don't have a plan, right? Like,
right.
You know, if you have an identity shift, it doesn't matter that you went on vacation, right? You're going to still make the right choices because you want to stay in alignment with who you believe you are in a values core situation.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to convince yourself to do the right thing because you believe that this is the way I live. And so before I was the kind of person that, like, oh, I could just eat desserts whenever I wanted. And that was, I don't worry about that stuff. I'm not counting calories. And if I was trying to go on a diet, it was like a fight from who I identified as myself, like at this weight, at this lifestyle. And now, and I think you experienced that, like you had made an identity shift. And when you put on the weight, like, this isn't me. And you were able to come back down. It was a temporary thing. And so it was like a reverse. And like, oh, I got to become skinny for a little while, and then it went back to normal. No. You went back to normal. And then for a little while, because of stress, you put on weight. And then you went back to normal. So it's a slight variation. But Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think you pointed out was you put on weight because you were insanely stressed. So when we really look at, like, we zoom out, what is causing life to be unhealthy is because we're allowing all this stress into our lives. And it sounds like in this situation, you know, life happened to you.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like maybe you made some adjustments that removed some of that stress too, right?
Yes, 100%.
So you have to put the fire out first. Mm-hmm. And that will make everything way easier. There's a book called The One Thing that I've been reading the last few weeks, and the whole book is this idea that what is the one thing I could do right now that would make everything easier or unnecessary? And some people, we just attack things usually from the wrong end. Instead of finding the cause of the problem, we're always just trying to find solutions to the problem instead of just putting the thing out, right? Yeah. Removing the cause. And you don't have to come up with a solution to deal with it. You know, that's sort of what, like, medications are, right? Yeah. A lot of the time, like, we're not going to actually, you know, put the fire out. We're just going to, like, constantly be trying to manage it. You have to find the why is this happening. You have to believe that your default is healthy, and that if something is happening in your life, there's a why, and you're going to take agency and address it and remove the reason for the stress or the binge eating or the temptations or the whatever hole you're trying to fill, right?
Yep.
Like, address that first and everything becomes much easier.
Oh, yeah. And I would say go to therapy. They help a lot to help you figure that out. Like, I've learned so much to where, like, I now know why I love only chocolate chip cookies. It's very specific.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And no other cookie. I don't care for M&Ms or, like, peanut butter ones, whatever. It's chocolate chip cookie because we were able to pinpoint those are the times that I had a lot of good memories with my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because I have so many good, I don't have a lot of good memories. And so the one that I've held on to apparently is the chocolate chip cookies. And so when I see them and I eat them, I feel really good because my brain's remembering when we used to make them all the time together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to the point where I can't even have them in the house. Like one of my friend, Anne, she brought it over for a barbecue. She brought Safeway chocolate chip cookies. They're so good. And I had 6 within 30 minutes. And they're not little. They're like these huge guys. And I literally, every time I passed by it, I would grab one. And so finally I just took it and gave it to her. And she's like, what's wrong? Is something wrong with them? And I go, no, they're actually too good. I need them out of the house. I just ate 6 of these. And she's like, what? And I go, yeah, like this is a problem for me. And so, yeah, she never brings over, no one actually brings over chocolate chip cookies ever anymore because I've told this story to them because I'm like, I can't have it. It's just
very kind.
It's you just don't put it in your house. I say you don't put a crackhead in a crack house. You're not going to put someone that loves cookies in this house. Like, I can't handle it.
Yeah. I literally can't either. Willpower is a very finite resource.
Yes.
And you can try and try and try, and then it's, you know, like you just cannot beat this instinctual thing that is inside of you. So you have to be kind to yourself and not put yourself in a temptation thing. Mm-hmm. You just have to remove the opportunity, and then it's way simpler. And so that's the first step. But then the second step is really addressing, and I think you've done that, you know, why do I feel this way?
Yeah.
And then decide if that story is serving you or not. So for me with cookies, I would be eating cookies all the time. Brownies and ice cream. I would eat the whole thing because something about it made me feel like I was with my family or I was safe or like I was happy or I don't know what it was, but it's around that. But I have shifted the story now. And I started recognizing that when I eat too much of it, I don't feel good. And so I really concentrate on, like, this makes me not feel good.
Yep.
Right now, in the moment. And it also makes me feel, like, not attractive. It lowers my confidence, you know, when you put on weight. So I don't think about, like, oh, this is, you know, avoiding this cookie and sacrificing and suffering and missing out on pleasure. I have to do that in order to be healthy. I literally now think of it as, like, this doesn't make me feel good right now. And I have an ick response to it. And now it's super easy to, no thanks, because I don't want it. Mm-hmm. And if I do have it, I have one. I'm like, hey, you know, that's plenty for me. I feel great. So it's like I now allow myself to have it, or like have a guilty pleasure. It's just I'm not fighting with myself because I've rewritten that this isn't something that brings me pleasure. It brings me pain. And now all of a sudden I'm at war with myself. And I think that is where you have to get to when it comes to addictions on anything. You have to rewrite the story that this is not something that's going to bring joy right now.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Because, like, I always feel like shit afterwards.
Right.
And most of the time...
Not just physically, but emotionally, right?
Yeah. It all ties together, everyone. It really does. Like, I will beat myself up for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. I will... And then I'll wake up being mad at myself, being mad at past Mel for doing it, and be like, what's wrong with you? Like, I will literally just... For 24 to 48 hours, it's a whole problem. Like, I won't stop thinking about how I fucked up is what happens in my head. And so it's like, let's just not put the temptation there. Like, learn what your triggers are and just don't have them in the house. Like, that's what I've done over these past years is it's not overnight that you'll learn these triggers. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to really maintain your mindset and really think and talk to yourself. I think the talking to yourself is huge. Mm-hmm. I talked myself down from a lot of things by doing that. And learning that cookie, when you take the first bite, it's amazing, right? But after that, there's nothing there. Like, the bite doesn't get any better. It doesn't taste any better.
It gets worse, right?
Gets worse, yeah. And then you actually don't even taste it anymore.
Nothing, like, you're just eating.
Yep, I've done that to ice cream where I love chocolate chip ice cream. Chocolate chips everywhere. And legit, like, after a couple scoops, I'm like, what am I doing? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even taste it anymore. Like, I just feel the creaminess of it now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's kind of wild. Like, if you start putting your mindset first, you're like, oh, I don't even need this. Mm-hmm. What am I doing here? This doesn't serve me. Like, I just give it to someone. Like, I've totally done that. I was like, nope. Here you go. Do you want my ice cream? I've only taken a few bites.
Do you know what is triggering the desire? Like, right before you feel, I want a cookie. What is it just the sight of it? Or is there an emotional thing that's happening?
It's a twofold. So I would say most of the time, if I don't see it, I don't think about it. So that's why I like just keep it out of sight. Because once I do see it, then now my brain just thinks about it all day. And it's just that chocolate chip cookie. But then it will trigger if I have a bad day. Like, mm-hmm. if I'm, like, stressed out, maybe I had an argument. It's typically, like, a major thing. Like, it's not, it's where I'm, like, been crying for the couple hours. And now I'm just, like, I think I want my cookie. You know? Like, right. I'm just, like, I'm giving up on making myself feel better and just being, like, I know what will fix this. Mm-hmm. There's a couple things. It's curly fries from Arby's and chocolate chip cookies. Now, I used to work at Arby's. That was my very first job at 16.
Wow.
And I loved that job. I know it's wild to think, but I just loved the people I worked with. So, like, I worked every shift in that building. And, yeah. Like, so
you feel comfortable there.
I feel very comfortable. Yeah, I feel safe. So,
yeah.
Those are the two things that I feel comfortable and safe, and I know that. So those are my two food items. If Mel's stressed out and you see me with those, maybe ask me how I'm doing, because that's probably why.
Makes sense.
But
so there's multiple layers to this. So, like, you're identifying that this is a stress response. So is there anything we can do to, you know, reduce the amount of stress? Mm-hmm. And then you're acknowledging, you know, when the trigger is. And so something that's been helpful for me is not denying and being at a war with myself. Like, I give it an alternative. Okay, the trigger happened. I want a cookie. What can I have instead that will kind of satiate that? So for me, I have like a bag of those guitar chocolate chips in the freezer, you know?
Okay.
And so when I feel that, instead of like plowing down a bowl of ice cream or a cookie, I just go have like a chocolate chip, right?
Just get that chocolate part. Yeah.
You know? I allow I don't want to fight with myself until the point where it explodes and I just like eat the whole tub of ice cream. I don't keep ice cream or cookies in the house anymore, but I just give it the like one or two chocolate chips, and then it goes, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And that feeling just disappears. So I don't want to like deny myself, or like, because you have to have an outlet, right? So mm-hmm. I just want a less unhealthy one.
Yes.
And then eventually maybe you can move it to raisins or something, or, you know, some even like good for you sort of thing. Or you could get like a Ninja Creami, and you can turn momentum into a really incredible ice cream.
Yes,
and it feels like, yeah, I'm sure you have a Ninja Creami.
I don't, but one of my friends does. And we were at his house for like basically a week. Mm-hmm. He's in Toronto. That's where I did got to see him do the radical body transformation. And he had ice cream every night, but it's because he had the Ninja Creami. And he's just making it. And I was like, oh my God, this is actually delicious. Like,
yeah, what a cheat, right? Like, it feels like, oh, right? I'm letting myself do this. And you're having 30 grams of protein in a healthy shake. You're like, oh, this is incredible.
It feels weird almost. Like, you're like, wait a minute. Is this allowed? Like, it's mm-hmm. 9 o'clock at night. But yes, we literally all had to tell ourselves, no, we're getting like 30 grams of protein here. We don't mix the two, you know, like don't. Fool yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, this is good for you. Don't act like it's not.
Do you know what a lightning rod is?
I mean, I know what.
So you're like a building gets struck by lightning, and then Ben Franklin invented this, and you put this rod on top of it, and it allows the current, instead of blowing up the building, it allows it to run through, and then it goes into a stake in the ground.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And then nothing happens. It's mm-hmm. totally safe. An incredible invention. And an understanding of the beginning of an energy, and it has to run its course. And so when you're stressed out, you have a trigger, you have a response. And if you don't let that complete its course, eventually it's going to build up and it will explode. Maybe in a completely different addiction, something terrible, right?
Yeah.
After a long enough time, you don't give the stress its way to find it out of your body, it will destroy your body. So that's why I think it's really important to acknowledge that, okay, I had a stressful thing, I had a trigger, and then allow it to find a different way to complete and not just constantly be in this denial sacrifice thing. You have to find a more healthy way to deal with that energy burst. So I think that's really important. And then you can start working on, you know, the cause of the trigger, and then you can start working on the emotional response to it. So when I have a lot of dessert, I try to bring forward that emotional response that I know that's going to happen. Like, I'm going to feel bad. And I remember what that, the guilt or the sluggishness or the, you know, just the way I felt and looked. I bring all that emotion forward as I bite the thing. Mm. And then that just changes the flavor of the thing in my mouth to where it's no longer pleasurable. And then it makes it way easier to stop. And you're literally going to have to like condition your brain to not want this thing. And that changes the force. It's no longer something you're fighting against. Now you have this incredible millions of years of evolution behind you, pushing you and making it easy. You know, like, oh, I don't want that. That's gross. That's how I feel about mustard, right? I've never had a war with myself about like, ew. I just don't want it. And that's how I feel about overeating sweets most of the time now.
Yeah.
Now it bubbles out in other ways. I pick up my phone way too often. You know, when I get stressed out, that's become the new thing and a new angle I have to find to, you know, deal with, you know, the daily life of stress. You have to acknowledge it, and you have to find a way to deal with it, hopefully in a more productive way.
Well, and I love that you're saying, like, you need to finish it. I think that's the problem with a lot of us is that we have the stressor, and then we want to just bury it. You know, mm-hmm. we don't want to let it like filter through. Or I hear this all the time, just sit in your feelings. And I know that that's hard for a lot of people. But after doing it enough, it feels normal. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell people it's okay to just sit in your feelings. I've been taught this. I have put it in practice. It feels very awkward and weird for the first few times. But then afterwards, you feel better. Like once you like let it go through you. Because the whole, like, oh, I've been crying all day. No, you haven't. Like, you cry for a few minutes, and then it comes down, you know? And you're just going to have waves of that. But at least you're in it and feeling it instead of eating it down, drinking it down, doing whatever you can to push it down. Because I have noticed if I let it go through, then I'm not reaching for the things that I normally would reach for.
Right. The metaphor I've always had in my mind is a hot stove, right? You put your hand on a hot stove and you go, oh, damn, that's hot. And you really quickly learn, you don't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. What I think happens a lot in life is something, you put your hand on a stove and then you grab something to drink, some drugs, or some food, or however you self-medicate. And it allows you to numb the feeling of that experience. And the terrible thing on both ends is that it allows you to continue the negative experience. You stay in the bad relationship. You stay in the bad job because you found a way to numb it.
Yeah.
And so I never wanted anything that would allow me to numb to the pain. I wanted to feel the pain intensely and then do something about it. Because if you just keep numbing yourself, well, that has its whole host of negative consequences, right, in health.
Yep.
But you're also allowing the stress to continue and have, you know, a life that isn't as good as it could be. So feel the pain, process it. Have you ever done somatic breath work?
Mm-mm.
Friend of mine owns it's a modality of a breathing exercises that allow you to access emotions and like the subconscious part of yourself to come out. So like this part of your mind right now we're talking, that's my conscious mind. It has a verbal cortex that can put thoughts into words, and there's a whole like 80% of my mind and body that can't express itself through words. That's what you're feeling in emotions, right? It's coming out that way. And we often suppress that. And there's these two parts of your mind and they're kind of at war with each other. And one of them can't talk. And so this breathing exercise allows you to get access to that and to listen.
Okay.
And it gives it the space to come out. And my friend, incredible guy, he spent 10 years trying to avoid feeling this emotion that he had about his father.
Okay.
And it would just bubble out in all these negative ways. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't recognize it. And then he did this breath work. It was like an hour. And he just wept and bawled and screamed and got angry. And it just all came out. And he's like, and then he just felt like the current had passed through him. And
nice.
He got out of it, and he's like, I spent 10 years avoiding feeling bad for 10 minutes.
Yep.
And sometimes you just have to you have to cry it out. You have to do the thing. You have to experience it. You have to feel it and let it move through you. And your body will feel like you've listened to it and heard it, and you've processed it. And now you maybe going to do something about it. But you don't have to hold on to it forever, like radiation poisoning. So that's just one of many modalities you can use.
I was going to say, because my cousin, I think, did this without realizing he did this, because he was having a stressful day. It was an anniversary of his mom dying, so he was just, like, in it, and he's like, I don't know what to do, and he did breath work. He meditated for a while, and then he just cried it out, and he said he felt so much better afterwards. Like, he said he felt like everything was going to be okay, and he felt like a weight's been lifted, so... Yeah, that sounds like a good idea, especially for us that suppress a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. It's been important for me, this belief system that I was built correctly. I think we were made correctly, and that we are able to process and do and experience. We're just stronger than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah.
We can experience that emotional thing and survive. We can we can conquer the super difficult challenge, and we're just afraid. And so if we stop being afraid that we're going to fail or that we're not going to be able to handle the thing, we just trust that we were made well. We can get through so much stuff, and then we can take ownership of the thing. Like I've been avoiding this because I've been afraid of failing. I've been avoiding this because I didn't think it was good enough. I'm just going to go do it. And if I fail, that's fine. I'm going to keep doing it until I succeed. And then you get to the other side, and the reward is just 100x more than you could, than you thought. You had sour grapes about it. Like, you know, like being healthy is overrated. They got to sacrifice a bunch of stuff, or like, you know, getting the job that I want, or making the business or the relationship that I want. Like, I don't need any of that stuff. I'm tough. You know, like whatever excuse that we make for not having the beautiful life that we could have. And then you go through it, and it's difficult, but it's not nearly as hard as you think it would be. And you get there, and you get to have this thing that you always thought was for someone else, and you get to experience it. And it's just like this overwhelming beauty. And I know you and your listeners who have gotten to the place they wanted to be, that maybe they thought was, you know, they were never going to drop that 150, 200 pounds, and they got there. Would you describe that it's better than you imagined when you were at your original weight?
Oh, yeah. I thought I was confident, and I didn't have a low self-esteem, and I was just this bold person, just in a bigger body. And then, oh boy, once I lost like all the weight and the work that goes into it, like I got really into working out. Mm-hmm. I was doing two-a-days because I loved it. And I feel the most confident, the most like high self-esteem like than I've ever had. Like I was fooling myself. Mm-hmm. I was telling myself these things to feel better.
Right.
To make myself, you know, not be what I actually was. And
right.
Now I actually am who I want to be. I am doing the things that I've always wanted to do. I wouldn't be talking to you right now if I didn't make those decisions. Like, it's really wild to take control of your life and just see where it actually goes. Mm-hmm. Because my degree's in accounting. Like, I have a bachelor's degree in accounting.
Wow.
Like, but I run a podcast, you know. Mm-hmm. I do use a lot of different stuff from learning that, because I had to take marketing classes, and now I know I do payroll and all those things. But still, like, you just don't know how your life's going to shift. And I think if you finally just take control of it, you're going to be so happy about what's happening, because life is very interesting and it throws a lot of different things at you. But when you know who you are, and you know what you need to do, it's actually a lot easier to go through life.
Yeah.
Like, yes, things are going to happen that suck, but your bounce back is 10 times better. At least it is for me. You know, I can bounce back from problems a lot faster. I'm not dwelling on things. I'm reading the let them theory. I'm just let them.
Yeah.
You know,
it's hard.
Let them. And I'm even using the 5-4-3-2-1 get up, like, and not just even waking up. I actually have a problem still waking up, but it's more or less like getting shit done, where I'm like, oh, I really don't want to fuck with my pool today. But then I'm like, nope, you're going to want to get in it. So let's go do this. And so I'm like counting and go, boom, done. And I've kind of taken my life where I don't try to do all things at once. I just do little projects at a time. And guys, that's a game changer, because then you get little stuff done every day and you feel accomplished. Like, even the whole making your bed. Like, after I watched that TED Talk with that military guy, I don't even know how long, maybe a decade now, I make my bed every day and I feel very excited about it. I love looking in my room and seeing it all clean and it's all put together, and it just feels nice. So I would say,
that's being, right? That's being instead of achieving. Someone who's organized has a made bed. Someone who's organized, you know, doesn't let the pool get gross. Mm-hmm. You know, then those are what people who have what they want make systems for it. And they do the things every single day. And it doesn't feel like terrible. You get pleasure out of like, oh, I checked that off my list. I did that. It felt great. Yeah, sense of accomplishment. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I always think of it as driving across the country in the dark. Like, okay. I cannot see the whole way, but I can see 100 feet in front of me, and I just move forward, don't crash into anything, and I'll get there. The road will take me there.
Oh, I love that analogy, because it's so accurate. Like, 100%, just do a little bit, and you'll get there. And really, you're deciding what the destination is, so you can get there however long it takes. It doesn't matter. That's what I've been trying to teach people, is like, because when we get our surgery, we lose a lot of weight in the first year, right? Because everything is firing. Everything's working. Your metabolism's back. And your portion sizes are really small. But people think, oh, you just have this 1 year to lose weight. And it's like, no. you actually have the rest of your life to lose weight.
Right.
It's just you do a lot in the very beginning. And I was a slow, what I call slow loser. Like, one, I've never hit my goal weight. And two, like, I hit my lowest. It took almost 2 years to hit my lowest, which was 179. And right now I'm at 185. I'm only 6 pounds from my lowest. So it's like, I can get there. I know with this body competition, I'm going to get there. It's just one thing at a time, guys. Like, I'm not implementing a 5-day workout plan and all these food changes. It's like, we're just tweaking things as we go, because that's what actually makes you win the race. It's not doing the all or nothing.
What is your goal weight?
So my goal weight was 165.
So, how'd you pick that number?
I don't know. I thought that, you know what, 160s sound great. Never saw that on a scale.
So how tall are you?
I'm 5'5".
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know, like, technically by the BMI stuff, I should be able to get there. And
for sure.
with my coach, like, I told him I wanted to be 165, and he's like, okay, I'll get you to probably, like, 150. And I'm like, what? And he goes, Mel, we have a year. And he's like, I can get you probably to 165 by the end of this year. And I was like, son of a bitch, really? And he goes, you just got to follow the things. And he's like, and I only want you to work out 3 days a week. He's like, we're not changing a lot. And I was like, okay. It's really just that consistency.
Yeah, I think you said a couple of things that were really interesting. Something that has been really useful for me as far as, like, visioning or goals is to make things that I believe are impossible.
Okay.
Because those require really drastic, not drastic, they require you to challenge some of your beliefs. So whenever if I do make a long-term goal, that's the important thing. It has to be like, this is not something you could achieve in 6 weeks or a year, but maybe 5 or 10 years. And it changes the way you're going to go about it. It's going to still be daily, you know, small movements, progress forward, but you know that it can't be a sprint. It's got to be a big lifestyle change.
Yep.
So at 5'5", I don't think there's any reason you couldn't be 130 pounds, right? And I know you're hearing that, you're like, impossible, but, like, lots of people do it.
Yeah.
Right? Lots of people have been there. That's like probably a relatively, you know, healthy weight at 5'5", right? Not you're healthy, way healthier than you were, but I don't want you to sell yourself short. So what would you have to change to get to 130 pounds? Like, it would just be more time?
It would be more movement, really.
Okay.
Like, because I work from home, it's the movement. What we've learned with him, me and him going through everything, is, like, my food is actually pretty on point. Actually, I need to get more food in, is what we're learning too, is that I don't eat enough. So that's causing problems, and that I don't move enough. Like, I need to do more than just the 3 days of working out. I need to walk more. Like, right. I don't really need to go work out more. I just need to move my body. Like, so I do have a, what are those called? It's not the treadmill, but it's the lower version of that where you put with your desk.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like a walking treadmill.
Pad.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a walking pad. So I do have one of those. So I'm like, Melanie, stop it. Get your ass on the walking pad. Like, you can take calls on a walking pad. You can do your work on the walking pad. Like, just do it. So that's where I'm at now, where it's like, it's getting hot. So I'm like, okay, I gotta be able to do this inside, and it's okay to watch a show and just be on a walking pad. Like, that's okay. Like,
for sure.
You can listen to a podcast and be on a walking pad. Like, you can still do stuff. So I put that block in my head. That was the problem, was like, well, now I'm on the walking pad. I can't do anything. And I don't know if I could do that. And it's like, no, Mel. That's not actually what you have to do. That's if you are working out. That's if you're at the gym. You can't work and work at the gym. But you can on a walking pad. I have a stand-up desk. So, like, you just have to put things in place. Like, I like standing and doing my work. I used to stand and do the podcast the first year because it felt weird to sit. But then my co-host at the time was like, I I like to sit. And I was like, I know a lot of people sit for podcasts. I get it. It just feels weird to me because at my old job at Progressive, we stood. Like, we had a standing desk, and I like a good competition. And a couple of the guys were like, I can beat you. And I was like, try me. And they're like, how many hours can you do? And I was like, I'm going to do all day. And they're like, really? And then they were both dudes, Steve and Chad, were sitting by lunchtime. I was like, yep, I got you all day, son, all day. Like, I like a good competition. And even though my legs were sore, I don't care. I was like, I have to win. Even when they sat, I was like, I'm not sitting yet. Nope. I got to show them what I can do. So I got really used to standing, and standing's good for you.
For
Like,
sure.
you can, it's 200 calories burn for every hour you're standing. So I'm like, guys, I need
Wow.
to stand more. Yeah.
That's a ton. So the reason I kind of wanted to push you towards that unbelievable goal in your mind, which I think is totally 100% achievable, is that to lose 5 pounds, you wouldn't have to change much about what you're doing, right? So the bigger goal will require a slight identity change. And I wouldn't want you working towards like, I'm going to lose this weight to get to this other person, but just that reframe, like, well, what does 130-pound Mel just do? Like, what's her day look like? And then you would have to change a little bit of your lifestyle and your identity to adopt that new thing. And I think it would make, even if you didn't don't make that, it'll make getting that 5, 10 pounds way easier, right? But it's just something that can give you a long-term outlook on things and create us and work a strategy backwards from that will align with that instead of like a small quick fix. Losing 5 pounds is like you could do that in 2 weeks if you wanted to, right? But it, and it would it, you could diet, you know, it wouldn't be wouldn't create a massive change. So that's what I think of. Like when I wanted to start this company, I was like, I'm going to make a $100 million company, which was 10 times bigger than what I had done before. And that's extremely rare. I think like 0.001% of companies can do that, right? It's very, 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 very small. But I was terrified at the idea. There's no way I could ever do that. I'm not capable enough. All these excuses came up that were limiting beliefs. And as soon as I decided that was the goal, my mind just came up with, okay, well, how would I do that? Okay, well, I would need it to be like this, and I would and need it to be like exceptional, and it would have to be able to spread word of mouth, and it would have to be reoccurring, and I would have to like build out my own factory to make the numbers work. And these are all things that I didn't know how to do, and I was terrified of, but I knew to get to that goal, it would require this massive leveling up of me, and I would have to read books, and I would have to make, you know, friends with mentors. And I was like, okay. And as soon as I understood the strategy, well, I can do that. I can do all those steps to get there. And now it seems like an inevitable conclusion to me. I knew it would be like a 7, 10 year plan instead of a 2 year plan, which radically changes how you do everything. You know, your expectations change and you create sustainable change because you know it's just going to take a long time to do it. And that's okay. So yeah, I would just push that. The other thing that's really helped me with being is visualizing who I am right now and the delta between who I am right now and who I want to become. I don't care about the results, like the goal itself. I care about the person I get to become at the end of the journey. And so I like, well, what does that guy get to do when he, you know, gets to that goal? What power, what abilities, what does his daily life look like? And I go, oh, well, if I created that company, and it would require one, a massive leveling up of knowledge and skills and network, but also I'd have to become the avatar of someone who's living at peak health and hopefully living longer and, you know, aging slower. Those are all things that seem exciting to me. So it's like it's all very aligned. Yeah, so
And
what would 130-pound Mel look and feel and like how would that be different? Is that you have to create like a prize, a reward, something worth moving towards, I guess.
well, and I, what I was thinking while you were talking about that, like, is how you take the end goal and then you work it backwards. So when you were talking, I was like, okay, 130-pound Mel is getting up at a, like, one, getting enough sleep, making sure I get that sleep in, and I'm moving more. So that's me going to the gym. That's me going on walks with my dog. It's me filming all that too, because that's going to be like my adventure of what's going on and how I'm changing. And so, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of an identity shift of just now Mel is the person that goes to work out 3 to 4 times a week. Mel walks after she has dinner, lunch, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're not staying stagnant anymore. So it's like, now that I'm thinking of it backwards, it's kind of cool, because then I'm like, okay, these are the things that I need to implement.
Those seem like really achievable behaviors, right?
They're super simple. Not simple, but they're very achievable.
They are very simple, right? Like, yeah. It's not complicated. Like, move a little bit more, or exercise, maybe eat a little bit less, right?
Yep.
Not drastic changes. Stand
at your head. And just eating more of the right things, I think, too. Sure. Is probably the one for me, is where I need more of the good stuff. That's what I need. I need to fill up my fridge with just all the good stuff. But I've done that before, and then stuff goes bad. So I have to really baby step this. But at least, like, knowing what the end result is and how to work it backwards. Mm-hmm. I think I've said that, like, 3 times now.
Said, though, too, is, like, stuff happens and you go backwards. You know what stuff happens and what sends you backwards, so preparing for it. Right. Yes. Now you're like, okay, this is going to happen at some point. I'm going to get injured, or I'm going to have a relationship thing. And this is what I'm going to do, how I'm going to make a system that thrives on that. There's a book called Anti-Fragile. And it's when something terrible happens, it's not that you're resilient and you can survive it, is that it makes you better. Mm-hmm. You've created a mindset and a way of doing things that, like, thrives when things get hard. And so I try to build systems and businesses that can take advantage of chaos. And when things get harder for everybody else, it's like, again, it's like I'm creating this vision, this goal that seems impossible. Like, how, if there's an economic downturn, why would my company get better? But there will be an economic downturn, right? So I'm going to build a company that will get, like, that'd be the best thing that could happen to it. Right.
There
you go. And how do I work backwards to make it that way? And it's the same thing when you're trying to probably create a healthy lifestyle. It can't be, this only works when I'm alone and single and I don't have to worry about kids, or I never go on vacation. Like, no, it has to thrive in all those situations.
It does. It does. Cause even, like, I'm going on a cruise next month for my brother's wedding, and I'm already thinking, like, okay, can I bring protein shakes on the, cause I typically travel with my protein shakes in my check bag. So I'm like, I'll count, like, hey, how many days I bring that many. Or I bring, like, a whole thing of powder with me, whatever it is. So now I'm trying to figure out, I'm on this boat. Well, the ship, one, I've never been on a cruise. I don't even know what to really expect. So I'm like, okay, how do I stay? That's what I hear. And everybody gains weight on the cruise. So I'm just I don't want to work backwards on that. Like, I have this momentum going forwards of what I want and who I want to be in a year. And I need to figure out, which I'm going to have conversations with my brother, because he's been on several cruises. It's like, how do we do this? How do I get all my protein in? Because if I don't within the first couple hours, I feel sick. So I'm like, I have to eat. So I need to, that's going to be a core one for me, is making sure I eat and eating healthy and not going off track, just being me, just being like, hey, this is what we eat now.
So I went on a cruise in January, and it was on the Ritz, and it's like just insane food, just like over the top delicious. Oh my god, I can't leave any behind. I grew up kind of not food, wealthy. Yeah. I was on food stamps for most of my 20s as I was a musician, and so, like, there was food, I had to eat it all. I had, like, this mindset, I can't leave anything behind, because I gotta, like, it's, you know, I can't afford to leave it behind. And so I went in there, like, there's all this good food, there's lobster, and, you know, like, yeah, I gotta eat it all. So if I was gonna look at it again, I would come at it from a state of abundance, that there will be more food tomorrow. I don't have to, I can leave stuff at the buffet, or I can leave food on the plate, and I won't be getting my money's worth, and that's okay. So if you reframe it as, like, I'm going to go to this place that someone's going to take care of all the cooking. I have access to all the protein and good foods, and I can choose how much and what to eat, and it's all done for me. It's almost like an advantage, right?
Yeah.
Instead of you having to just show up and like amazing food is available at whatever quantity and quality you want, and you don't have to eat it all. And so I would reframe it as that.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm going to have to do, because I hear that all the time, getting your money's worth.
Right.
And
you know how much would you pay not to put on 10 pounds? Think of it
exactly.
That way.
Exactly.
I would pay way more than the cruise cost not to put on 10 pounds. So that's for me getting my money was worth. It's like, I'm just going to eat until I'm not, I don't want to overeat. That's 99%, I think, of being the right weight is just stopping when you're not hungry.
Yes.
Maybe even a little before that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say that has changed my life because of the sleeve. It actually helps with that guided of knowing, hey, you're full. No more. And even 10 years out, I still feel a restriction. Like, it's not like it was, but it's definitely there. And now I actually, like, I stop before it even hits sometimes where I'm like, oh, I'm good. But you have to practice that. Like, it doesn't come overnight.
We're old enough to know that, like, you know, we're going to feel full. I just used to eat till I was full. And now I just eat till I'm not hungry. That's the difference, right? And so then 10 minutes later, then I feel full.
Yeah.
Because it's delayed, right? So I just think of, well, what would Skinny Mike do? He's not going to just clean the plate just because it's in front of him.
Right.
Because, you know, being skinny feels good. And then I think for you, if you were going to make that journey and you could prove to yourself and to all your listeners that this was possible, like, how incredible would that be for your show, for all the other people who are listening to you, that you've set this example to really achieve something that you thought was truly impossible? You know, what kind of level of confidence, what would that do for your relationships at all levels? If we're thinking about the one thing that could affect your health, your confidence, your business, all these things, like, that might be it, right?
Yeah.
It's super aligned. So I would just focus all my attention on like setting a goal that I thought was just nuts, and then setting an appropriate time frame for it and moving towards it, and everything else is going to become easier.
It really does. Things just kind of fall into place. Like, that is, I've always shot for like the moon and I'll settle for the stars kind of situation, you know? So that way, like, you're still working hard. You're still getting all the reps in. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But also, like, it's okay. You're going to have bumps in the road. And that's where you just don't let a bump just overdo all that progress you've made. And that's whether you're talking about your mental health, physical health, your work-life balance stuff. Like, you're going to have these bumps. Like, and some of them are controllable. Some of them are not controllable. And so just I like that you have a plan for these situations. Like you said, you're building a company knowing there's going to be economic downfall regardless. Like, it's just going to happen because that's how the economics work. So you're preparing for something like that already instead of just waiting for it to happen and be like scared. So like, that's what I need to do with the cruise and for this competition. It's like, just have a plan of making sure when these things happen, especially during the winter months, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, my birthday's next to Halloween, like legit the day before Halloween. So like, we don't have to go crazy. We can still have fun in moderation. And then just have a plan, like go in with like, hey, this is, I tell people all the time, like when you're going to a potluck, bring something you like. So that way, you know, there's at least something there that you can eat and taste good. So,
There's no reason that you can't create a plan to go on this cruise where you come out healthier.
Ooh.
Because there's a gym on there. There's all kinds of fun activities outside. There's a tremendous amount of any kind of healthy or unhealthy food, and it's all your choice. So if you think of it as an anti-fragile kind of concept, like, I'm going to go on this cruise to lose weight and become stronger. Whoa, what a mind frame shift, right? Instead of like, oh, I got to like all these temptations I got to battle and I'm going to try not to gain too much weight. That's going to be a shitty strategy, right?
Yep.
You can.
It really is.
Yeah. It'll never be easier to lose weight than having a a dedicated chef for every single meal and a gym 10 feet away, right?
Yeah. Because, like, you can literally eat healthy and go work out, and I can make that a plan of mine. And, yeah, I'm kind of excited considering, like, I'm getting my money's worth by just being on the ship and doing all the things that are on the ship.
Right.
So, like, that's also a mind shift we have to do is, like, I paid my money. I'm excited to just be there. Like,
you don't have to, you'll have no stress, right?
Yeah.
You won't have anything else to do except eat well and exercise. You know, it's like this incredible opportunity if you think about it.
Ooh, look at you.
Yeah, I know.
Shifting that mindset. I love it.
My whole life kind of revolves around this. And these are things that I struggle with. This is not simple for me. I hate working out. I love to eat and to cook, and all these things are things that I've battled with and fail at. And I'm learning all this stuff and trying new ideas myself. And if at the beginning we were talking about like a keystone idea. Mm-hmm. And if I had to really only people are like, you got to sleep well, the laundry list of things to do for longevity is miles long, right? Yeah. Zillions of supplements you could take. You can do all kinds of different exercises. If there was only one thing I could focus on, it would be reducing my body fat. There's just no other polite way to say it and I've made all kinds of excuses, like, oh, I'm big boned, my whole family's got large, my A1C is high, and it's all just that my body fat is too high. Because as soon as I bring those things down, all the blood work gets in line, exercise becomes easy, my energy is better, I sleep better, everything is downstream of getting into an optimal, and it's not what the scale says, it's what a measuring tape says, or like a DEXA scan says about your body fat. I thought I was at like 18-19% body fat, and I got a DEXA scan, and it's just not going to lie to you. It's not going to tell you you're pretty. It's going to tell you, Mike, you're almost 26% body fat. And I go,
oh, that is not what you thought. No,
it was just like I had to accept reality. I had made up all this nonsense. They're like, I got a little soft here, but if I flex, I can see an ab. And so as soon as I accepted that was my choice, and it wasn't the evil foods or the good foods, it was just like I ate too much and I wasn't moving enough. And it became that simple. Like, okay. And then I associated, well, what would be the best thing I could do for my company? It would be to be in incredible shape. What's the best thing I could do for my life? No amount of money is going to make up for the fact that I get heart disease or I can't, go do the fun thing I want to do. There's no amount of money at a certain point that I wouldn't trade for 10 more healthy years of life or to feel great and not have pain. Like, I would trade everything for that. So if I'm going to do one thing, like, that's the first thing is maximize my potential for living better right now.
I love it. That's a great way to end this bad boy. Is there anything that else you want to say to the audience before we hop off?
Oh, just you can do and be and live whatever life you can possibly imagine and more than you can imagine. So dream way bigger and you can do it. It just may take more time and you deserve it.
You do deserve it. All right. Well, thank you so much, Michael, for being on the podcast. I'm going to have everything for him linked below. So you'll be able to just click, go find Momentum Shake. You can find his bio on there too. And I believe you're on socials, correct?
I don't do a ton of social. We have momentum.shake, I think, on Instagram. Mm-hmm. We don't post a ton. It doesn't really align too much with the life I want to live. I just want to create something amazing and then let people find it and share it. And that's how we've been growing.
Oh, I love that for you guys. So like you said, it's just Momentum Shake, which I've already tagged before and when I tried everything. So already, everybody, you guys know the deal. You need to have your water, drink your protein, and take your vitamins. So until next time, don't be an asshole to one another.
Thank you for joining me on this episode of Our Sleep Life podcast. Don't forget to head over to my YouTube channel, hit the subscribe button, and follow me on all the socials so you stay connected. And remember, until next time, keep shining bright.